All right, if you could take a seat. And we're going to kick off our service with Melissa coming up to stage. Let's give it up for Melissa Mai. She's going to do our scripture reading today, which I asked her about a few minutes before the service started. It's been that kind of week. But there's a lot of people I saw when I was walking around and that I was like, I asked them. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I feel like the Lord just highlighted you as like, you need to ask Melissa. And so I just personally want to thank you for being a friend through the years, even though we don't get to walk as closely now, to be a friend who has cared for us really well and who has played a pretty significant part in partnering with the Lord to provide our daily bread for our family. And you're someone who walks in the kingdom of God. And so as we're going through the Lord's Prayer, it's just been a reminder today, that this morning, thinking about you, how you've done that in your life. And so anyways, want to honor her and just bless this mighty woman of God who's going to read the scripture. And then I'm actually going to pray for us just before she does that, because I believe just as she reads the word, I believe the Lord wants to just to speak to us. So let me pray for you and pray for our service. Lord, I just thank you for Melissa, Lord, and I thank you that she's a daughter of God. I thank you, Lord, that I know who you are more clearly because of her and because of other people in this church. Lord, the way they've walked with you, I've gotten to see who you are inside of them, Lord. And so I just pray that you bless her today as she reads your word. And I pray that you would bless us, God. Lord, would you speak to us through your word today? Lord, that even the simple reading aloud of your word, the public declaration of your scriptures, God, that you're speaking, that you're a father who's come really close today. I pray that you help us to know that, Lord. And I just pray that you would speak to all of us. Lord, give us what we need today. Give us our daily bread directly from the source, Lord, directly from the provider. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, she's going to read our scripture that we've been in, Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And then after she reads this, she's going to say, this is God's word. And then you'll respond, thanks be to God.
Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Melissa. So we are in this series on the Lord's Prayer. We're kind of at a turning point in our series. Some of this will be a little bit of a review from what Joe said last week. But we're taking the Lord's Prayer and the practices to pray it morning, midday, and evening, that this would be something that we would use to help learn to walk with Jesus, to walk with God. His disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray, and our vision for this year is we want to walk with Jesus together, believing that there's a relationship with God that is for each of us individually, but also as a body, as a local body, Antioch, Dallas. God is walking with us, but also that he's taking us somewhere. And we want to go with Jesus on the journey for where he's taking us as individuals and as a church. And so this is going to be a great time for us where we're just leaning in, practicing through prayer, how we're walking with Jesus. And so the first kind of part of the Lord's Prayer, Joe highlighted this last week, is that, you know, all of it is about getting us into God's reality, right? It's all about your name, right? It's about God's name. It's about his kingdom. It's about his will. All the beginning of it starts with your. And now we're transitioning to the part where we're kind of breaking this down line by line, where it's about inviting God into our reality, right? And that order is really significant. Before we pray, give us our daily bread, forgive us, lead us, the significant thing in that order is that God knows more than we do. That God is the one who is God, and that we are not, that he is ruling and he is reigning on the earth. And so he is the one that we need to come under. He is the one that when we pray, Prayer is relationship with God. And he's the one that started the relationship, not us. God is the initiator. He's the pursuer of us. And so when we take time through the Lord's Prayer to first off to honor him as our Father, to worship him, to thank him, to revere him, to intercede for his kingdom and his will, what happens is that then positions us to then ask. And what's interesting is I find that there's kind of a religious attitude we have about asking God, where we kind of feel bad, or we feel like there's a bit of a balance that we don't always strike. So today we're talking about petition, and petition literally just means to ask God or to present your request to him. Right? This give us today our daily bread is what we're focusing in on today and kind of throughout the rest of this week. Give us today our daily bread, which is the first time in the Lord's Prayer where we're asking God for something, right? And that word petition, you'll also see that word supplication. It occurs all throughout Scripture. I couldn't even count it all. I went back and I looked at one of my ADS teachings on prayer. Just in the Gospels alone, Jesus, he may not always use the word petition, but Jesus speaks about prayer or interacts with somebody in the way of kind of fundamentally that prayer is asking, that it's almost synonymous. Like to use the word pray is to use the word ask. Now, there are many different types of prayers. There are other ways to pray, as we've talked about, you know, worship and thanksgiving and intercession. But I think one of the most common kind of pictures you have about prayer is in connection with asking God. It's almost implied that when you say pray, even culturally, when someone says pray, we think of it as asking God for something, not listening to him, which is good, which is part of prayer. But what I want to encourage us in, first of all, is just to realize that there's a freedom we have to ask God. That every time Jesus, there's at least 24 times in the Gospels alone, there's even more in that in the Old Testament and the rest of the New Testament, but even Jesus talking about prayer or interacting with people, some of those stories were stories of he walked up to a sick person and just said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you, right? There's an implied prayer, you can just ask me, right? And when Jesus taught about prayer, one of the ways he talked about is asking your Father who wants to give good gifts. And so Jesus encourages us to lean into asking, to not ever feel bad for asking God, to not feel like we can't ask our Father, that actually asking God, petition prayer, supplication prayer, it actually is a way of glorifying God. Now, there's a few different kind of cautions and rules around asking that we could dive into. For the sake of time, we won't. I'll just kick it back. Joe, last time I had an illustration about two of those common ones. There's more than this, but there's a couple cautions around the realm of asking God for things just to remind us of in this subject, is that often we can find in the ditch of not asking because we feel bad, we feel like we're self-centered, we don't want to take something from God, like it should all be about him and not about us. But that is actually a bad mindset that breeds separation between you and your Father, right? It would be unnatural for a child to not ask their earthly parent for something, to not go to their earthly parent as the first source for anything that they need. And so when we fall into the ditch of not asking God because of some kind of religious or some type of fear, or maybe we don't trust God, there's a lot of reasons. When we don't do that, we're actually causing the perceived separation from God. And the antidote to that is actually ask boldly, right? Now, the other side of that ditch that you can fall into, just in this spectrum, is that we're asking selfishly, right? Is that we're actually not concerned about the Father. We're not concerned about God's will or his kingdom, but we're only asking for things that we care about in the place of us wanting to control our life and what we think it looks like. And so, you know, the answer of that is actually submission. So what we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, once again, this is all reviews, that Jesus modeled this Lord's Prayer, is that we're going after God's kingdom. But then within that, there's a freedom and a desire to ask God for things. I in studying on this passage for Give Us Today Our Daily Bread, I was reminded of, okay, that word, breaking down our daily bread. That's not a language that we would normally use. And that's a direct callback to Exodus chapter 16. And when God led the Israelites through the wilderness and they literally had no food, and God made manna appear, rain down from heaven every single day. They collected the manna day at a time, day at a time. And so I was like this, when Jesus said this, it's a direct callback to that story, which would have been very, very familiar to these people here. And there's even Or Jesus himself, he points to himself in John chapter 6 as, okay, your fathers, they got bread in the desert. But, you know, it wasn't Moses that made that happen. It was God. God's the one. He's the provider from heaven that gave you bread. Well, I'm the bread from heaven. I am the bread of life that will never, ever leave you hungry again. Don't just care about food that spoils, but work for the bread that endures to eternal life. And the work is simply to believe, simply to ask God for it. In kind of my initial study for this sermon, there's a great sermon waiting to be spoken on the rest of that, which I won't get to today. About halfway through this week, I had some interesting foresight of, I don't know how it's going to go Sunday, but instead of y'all relying on my communication ability, let me just put a snapshot of some of my notes on the slide. So I made this slide a few days ago. If you can just put up the slide that's like a bunch of lines with scriptures. Yeah, yeah. So this is Marshall speak. This is like I didn't format this necessarily for your brain, so that may not make sense to you. But if you just want to take a picture of that or write it down, what I want to encourage you to do is this week, just enjoy God's word. And if you come up with these bullet points, great. If you come up with other bullet points, great. God's word is going to speak for itself. So I encourage you, dive into Exodus 16, dive into John 6, Philippians 4, some of these passages that were really ministering to me. Even the rest of the Lord's Prayer in that chapter of Matthew 6 has a lot of good stuff in the rest of Matthew 6. So there you go. I don't know why more pastors don't do that, but that's like a sermon cheat code, I feel like. You can just have all that stuff. And you can just go study the word yourself, and the word's better than me. Like, really, the word is better than me. The Bible is better than me. So let me tell you a story about what happened the rest of this week. I felt like a bad move to just close the Bible and walk away. I feel like a little bit of, like, intimidation there on the platform of, oh, Lord, let the Bible come out from here, though. Let the word come from here, God. So this week, we discovered, I've had a crazy week, we discovered a bunch of mold in our house. It started when we pulled out a car seat to install for this baby that's about to come any day, and it was just covered in mold in one of our closets. And so that led us on a journey this week to pulling out other items from almost every closet in our house, shoes, clothes, baby items that were covered in mold. And then to discover, even worse, that we have a lot of mold on the walls of our closets. And the cause of that mold, then also discovering, was that we have all this water pooling under this crawl space in our house. We have an old house. We have an old house. It is, I think, 70, 75 years old. We just moved in last summer because we feel like the Lord called us here. And so one of the joys of an old house is there's just a lot of unexpected surprises that you get to discover as you live there. And so this is one of those. So simultaneously to discovering mold and trying to systematically work through the house to pull out items, throw stuff away, which I kind of like doing that, actually. Some of that was a little bit cathartic. I'm a minimalist, so I kind of like the throwing away stuff. And then trying to clean off and basically do laundry for every item of clothing in our house, which most of it has not been done yet. You know, my wife, we're right about to due date. So actually, I did say if she could just hold it until after the ADS commissioning, like I'm good from there. So we made it there. I feel accomplished. We're good. Lord, thank you for that. But simultaneously, he's been having contractions and contractions. And almost any time she gets up and moves around for a little bit or stressed, you know, we're thinking we're going into labor. So we've also been preparing and packing up, like making preparations like, oh, we're about to go to labor any second. And another thing I realized is that as a parent, your kids don't stop living and needing you when your house is full of mold and your wife's going into labor. Like, they're just still there, a little three-year-old and a one-year-old, and you still have to take care of them in the midst of all that. And so as I was preparing for this sermon, I did about 6 to 7 hours of prep, and that was all initial phase, not writing up a sermon. So there's an amazing sermon out there somewhere that maybe will come out one day. But what was really interesting is, I tell you what, I was so excited when I said yes to preach this, because we've lived a life where I have seen God be daily bread to us. Like, I don't know if anybody has more faith than I do, not from a prideful standpoint or a comparison standpoint, but from just a place of hyperbole of saying, I really genuinely believe that God will provide. And I have seen God do it so much that there's a level of freedom from anxiety around finances and provision that I'm so thankful to the Lord for. It started when we got married. When we got married, we moved to Dallas because my wife got into grad school here. And so we're like, yeah, and her dad's going to pay for it. let's do that. I knew I wanted to go into ministry, but really didn't know what the plan was otherwise. And so anyways, we moved to Dallas with no job, no place to live. She got accepted into that grad school just like a month before we got married and found out, okay, I guess we're going to live in Dallas. And so we moved to Dallas. We jumped into this church in the summer of 2015, and we had like no money. I mean, we lived off a little bit of savings, some money from our parents, but we were like poor as all get out. For the first several months of our marriage, it was a really difficult, trying time for us to have to be adults for the first time, but also not have money to do so and to navigate adulthood and the early stages of marriage. And in that time, you know, we learned how to live simply, so that was good value for us. Learned how to really live simply, baked potatoes, not even with a lot of stuff on it, just a potato is really cheap and hearty. So that's a great cheap meal that we learned is just a potato. You can just bake that bad boy. There's some other recommendations that I won't give because it was just garbage food that we wouldn't eat at this point in our lives. But I'll give you the potato one. So we learned how to live simply, but also we were forced to learn what does it look like to trust God. And as a man, I'll say, now, graduating college, getting married, I was forced to confront the lie that you are the sole provider of your household. I just wanted to say, man, if you're believing that you are the sole provider of your household, that that's primarily is your responsibility, that is a lie. That is a cultural standard because I realized I can't do that. And in the almost 9 years we've been married and I've still been an adult and doing life, I've continued to see that, okay, if I'm the best for my family, they are seriously lacking. But if God is my wife's father, if God is my children's father, if Jesus is our faithful bridegroom, and if he's our provider, then my family's in great shape, regardless of my job status, regardless of how much money's in my bank account, regardless of my calling, regardless of the decisions we make to follow God, that God is a provider. So I can trust him with my kids' college, which is a real thing I'm thinking about these days. Well, how do we pay for that? I can trust him with retirement or not retirement. I can trust him with the money that we need for tomorrow. I can trust him at all times. And I've been forced to learn that as we had no money. But in that season of having no money, those first few months of marriage, we prayed. And our prayers are probably pretty feeble compared to what they look like now. But at the same time, we're also still pretty feeble people. So sometimes our prayers aren't that great. But we prayed and we walked with community. And the first time I ever experienced Acts 2, 42 through 47 community where they were giving to each other's needs was in life group at this church. I'd never have anybody give to something, give some money to us or help us with a need before. And I didn't know that was part of the body until we came to this church. We had a flat tire on my wife's car. And a friend in life group found out about that, and we just didn't have enough money like to just replace that tire. It was more than flat. It was like destroyed, irreplaceable. We simply didn't have the $100 to $200 needed to replace that. And a friend after life group just wrote us a check for more than it probably costs, right? And as we've journeyed, we've seen time and time again the Lord provide for us, whether it's random money that shows up, whether it's, you know, in the place of prayer, getting wisdom and getting kind of discernment on what decisions to make, most of the time through the body. You know, even as we got to the place where we had consistent jobs, we had dual income and no kids, working full time for about 1 year in our life before the Lord called me to ministry. And in that place, at that time, it was to support raise here. And you know who my primary supporters were? The people of this church. The once again, the body who helped fund me to do full-time ministry. Many of you sitting in this seat were a part of that. And once again, I learned that I am not the provider. It's not all in my hands. I'm not in control. God is. And so anyways, as we're coming to preparing for this sermon, I have countless more stories like that. The car that I'm driving is John Charks' car. It's his. It was given to me after his death. It's free. Like, there's countless stories of people in this body giving to us, God giving to us, God giving us great favor with discounts and with school costs and insurance and all sorts of things like that where it's like, God just did something there. I don't even know. My first job that I got at the end of that summer of having no job and first getting married, they paid me before I started. Like, I'm serious. Like, I got money the week I started for like a full 2 weeks worth of salary, and I Like they never backdated that or anything. It was right when we literally like had bills to do and zero money in the bank. And all of a sudden I finally got a job working at Richardson 911 of all places, super random. And now we live there, which is really fun. But he just gave me a job when we literally were at our very end. So I had countless stories where the Lord has stirred my faith. And I was excited to really come in and preach on that this morning. But I got really humbled. I feel like I got punked this week because I have been more anxious and stressed, and our life has been more chaos than in a long time I can remember. And I had a timely counseling appointment this week where I was talking with my counselor about anger and just the way of feeling overwhelmed, and then I snap at my kids or my wife and just wrestling through anger. And so we talked about daily bread in the place of, okay, well, there's a place for here. And he kind of, we dug into the scripture there, and he kind of prayed and kind of gave me some counsel about what does it look like to ask God for daily bread in the place of anger. And so every day this week, I've been praying for the Lord to give me daily bread for my anger. And then, of course, as the mold and the labor and everything flares up, there I am snapping at my kids again, right? There I am getting impatient with them. But it's another reminder of, Lord, I need you. Like, if I'm the best dad of my own for my kids, they're not in good shape. But if I have God, if I have the full God right there available to me, who wants to father my kids, who wants to love my wife, then my kids, my family, they have more than they need. But it comes back to this. It comes back to this petitioning thing. So open up your Bibles to Philippians 4. Let's just go there for the sake of time. And I'll just share a few things I've learned. This week, as I'm typically not prone to worrying about finances or not too prone to stress kind of in the day-to-day, and I just feel like I got just blasted and really humbled, I've learned that the first step in petitioning prayers, we're going to get a little bit practical, is you just got to do it. Like the most, like the secret sauce of petitioning prayer that I've been reminded of this week is actually doing it is just like the best thing you can do. Like if you don't start doing it, if you don't just ask God, well, you're not going to tap into anything else from that point. So God wants us to ask. He wants us to petition. And Philippians 4, 11 through 13 shows us some keys to that. So Philippians 4, 11 through 13 says, oh, wait, that's good. Okay, we'll do that. I meant 4, 6 through 7. I'm going to read this one too. This is good. I have learned to be content. We'll go with this order next. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So the reason I put that in there is because I was reminded that if the extent of our daily bread petitioning is for material things, if that is like the ultimate culmination of all that we ask for God, we're going to be severely handicapped to do life when all those circumstances that we pray for, when those material needs, like this house that God led us to, that got like great provision story for the fact that we even have this house. Like still, if my hope is in that answered prayer, like I'm going to be left handicapped where my contentment is based on circumstance. My contentment, my joy is based on these things. But really, if behind all of God's provision, I'm encountering the heart of the provider, if I'm encountering the daily bread that is Jesus, the bread of life, the bread from heaven that will never spoil, if I'm encountering God himself, then there's a way for me to be strong in the Lord, to have my faith strengthened, to be content, to have a joy that is better than any circumstance when my eyes are looking at the provider more than the provision, right? If even in my answered prayers, I'm remembering those, but still like my focus is on the provision, then I'm gonna be left wanting again and again and again. But Jesus came to say that, hey, the bread of heaven, that amazing sign that Moses performed with God in the wilderness to feed you, that's to point to your need for something even greater, that you're ultimately a spiritual being. Every single one of those people that got daily bread in the wilderness, they did not enter the promised land, because they continued to look at circumstance and to grumble and complain against God again and again and again. And it says in that scripture that he tested them. God was testing them when he said, every day go out and get just enough for the day, but don't store up anything more. And if they held bread enough for the next day, it would rot. But he said, on the sixth day of the week, you're going to get a double portion because the seventh day is going to be holy. It's going to be a Sabbath day. You're going to rest in me. So get a double portion and it will not rot. And for those that gathered the double portion on the sixth day and then on the seventh day chose to rest, they experienced another supernatural miracle, even in physical bread, that it didn't rot. They were able to once again encounter God and get the rest that he had for them. But if anybody went out to gather bread on the seventh day, it actually wasn't there. It wasn't there at all. They didn't trust God. And so even in God testing them, what's really funny is we get worked up sometimes about God testing us and how we perform. But do we realize that God's test was actually all stuff that he was performing? Like the testing of them by providing them manna was just to go pick it up and eat it. And to just do that every single day. So God was actually testing himself and he was calling them to notice. He was calling them to notice, right? He's not testing their faithfulness and their performance. He's saying, okay, do you really know that I am God and that I'm good and that you can trust me? Like it's a pop quiz about what do you think about me? What do you think? What do you know about me? He's testing them. And actually what's happening is he's causing them to try and see the provider. But again, right after that story, they're grumbling about water. Right before the story, they're grumbling about water. After he just led them through the Red Sea and crushed all the Israelites, like again and again, they grumble and complain because their focus is on the physical, but they're ultimately spiritual beings. They're made for God. And the bread from heaven is supposed to symbolize something about everything I need, I get it from God himself. And so when Jesus comes along the scene and says, I'm the bread of life, Jesus is saying, I am your strength that I can be. You can be content. You can have joy. You can have everything you need, whether you're hungry or you have abundance, whether you are in want and in need or you have plenty, it doesn't ultimately matter. You're made for me. And so every day you can feast on me, the bread of life. And so going back up to Philippians 4, 6 through 7, another practical then about when we pray. So the first step is praying, but look at this, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So when you pray, when you ask God, it says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So another key here is that when you pray, to give thanks to God. Even when you're bringing your needs before him, if you will take time, this is the order of the Lord's Prayer again, right? We're getting into God's reality by thanking him, by worshiping him, by submitting to his kingdom, and then we ask for things. When we take time to do that and we thank God first, it stirs up our hearts to remember what he's already done. It stirs up our faith to believe and it allows us to grab hold of peace that surpasses our hearts, or that a peace for our hearts and minds that surpasses our understanding. That thanksgiving and remembrance is a key to actually living a strong spiritual life in your asking of God. See, God commanded them, going back to the Israelites in the desert, he commanded them to save up a little bit of that manna and to put it with the book of the law, to put it with the testimony so that future generations would remember that story. Future generations would remember the story of God providing them manna for 40 years. God did that every single day for 40 years, except on the Sabbath day, so that they could learn to rest in God and to not be workaholics, to not think that they're in control of their lives. He did that every day for 40 years, and he wanted them to remember that. And so what I've seen in my life is I've seen God provide again and again and again. When I choose to remember what he's already done, and when I choose to thank him, it's pulling me into his reality to then... my eyes are on the provider. My eyes are on God. My eyes are on the good Father who loves me. My eyes are on the bread of life, Jesus. Before I even pray about the circumstances of life, I am engaging with them. I'm choosing the one thing necessary. I'm not being anxious and troubled about everything. I'm getting my one thing sitting at God's feet first and getting filled up in him so that I can walk with a Father who doesn't want me to be anxious, who wants me to be free, who wants me to overcome the world. And he wants all those things for you, right? And so that's just a couple keys. Last key that I'll give you is just praying in tongues. Like I'm just going to say this week, I've been reminded again about the mystery of praying in the Spirit and that one of the good gifts that God wants us to receive from him is that Romans 8 says, when we don't know what to pray, we have the Holy Spirit who prays, who searches out the heart and mind of God, who prays when we don't know what to pray for. He helps us in our weakness, right? And praying in tongues isn't the only way to pray in the Spirit. You can pray in the Scripture. You can pray prophetically. You can listen and pray that way. There's a lot of different ways to pray in the Spirit. But one of those being in the place of tongues is where I'm yielding to God's kingdom. I don't have control. It's mysterious to me. But what Paul says is it builds up my faith. It builds up my inner man. What Jude says is it's keeping you in your most holy faith. It's strengthening you and it's keeping you in the love of God, right? And so just practically for my life, one of the ways also in addition to remembering God, to giving thanks, to simply praying and remembering to go to the provider and to look to him and not me is also just praying in the Spirit as a way for me to be strengthened, to me to walk with God. I don't have a whole lot else to tie that in really beautifully. I just felt like saying that because I felt like it was a key. And the good news is that we don't have to be afraid of God. If that's mysterious, if that's controversial, if some of you are triggered by that, like the good news is we don't have to be afraid of God. When Luke says you lack because you don't ask and all this stuff, he's talking about prayer. He ends by saying God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. In the Matthew account, he says, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you good gifts? In the Luke account, he says, how much more does your Father want to give you the Holy Spirit, right? So you have the Holy Spirit. You have the very presence of God, the fullness of peace inside of you. And I'm just saying one of the ways practically is praying in the Spirit. And I received that gift a long time ago in college, but I never got any instruction or any training in it. So, you know, I just had all these misconceptions and false assumptions, and I just didn't do it. And as robotic or mindless, or even times I felt like I was just faking it, like, is this even real? I don't want to be disingenuous. Is this just gibberish? Like, I had to learn to just practice. And the more I practiced in God, the more I began to see the mysterious elements of how it, different than all the other spiritual gifts, is strengthening my inner man without me even totally comprehending it all the time. But it's become a real place of sweet intimacy, right? So when you give God the room and you trust him, you realize, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be confused. If I'll actually lean in first to his word and learning about him, and then into practicing his word, putting it into practice, you actually get this sweet encounter of intimacy with God and walking with him. So that's just another practical from this week. But for the sake of time, we're going to close up today. I hope that those ADS testimonies stirred your faith and that anything I said in the word also stirred up your faith. But we're going to take some time just to be with God, just to simply sit in his presence. So if the worship team could come on up. I want to turn your attention back. If you don't have a physical Bible or even your phone, go back to that Philippians 4 verse. We're going to sit in that for a second. So Philippians 4, 6 through 7. That's how we're going to close. I'm going to read it again slowly, and then I just encourage you just to sit and to be as present as you can to sense any anxieties coming up from this past week. Maybe there's any lies or thoughts that I've said that's triggered that thought that you have about God that you realize is something that Holy Spirit wants to correct or bring freedom in. And just to sit and allow the Holy Spirit to bring up anything that you're sensing God wants you to lay at his feet today, that you would receive peace and you would encounter your Heavenly Father who loves you, who wants to give you daily bread, and who's already given you the bread of life in Jesus that you can eat of every single day and never be hungry again. So I'm going to read this, and let's take some time to pray. And then as we do that, I encourage you just to thank God, to surrender to him, and then we're going to worship and we're going to sing. Because one of the things I've also, as I'm standing up here preaching after having a really hard week, is just realizing I forget all that stuff about like, oh man, I've got so much faith. If I just forget to simply pray, to simply pause, simply stop, to simply worship, I'm not going to tap into all that, right? And so we're going to take time to worship and after we pray and give thanks, just realizing there's a medicine that we need from God in his presence. When we put him first, when we honor him, we realize we will never outgive God. When we give him worship, when we give him thanksgiving, even though we're worshiping him, he's the object of worship, he always comes with peace. He always comes with love. He always gives something better than what we could give him. So even our worship isn't a place to perform. Our worship is a place to honor him, to love him, and to realize how much he loves us and to commune with him. So I'm going to read this again slowly, give you just a minute to sit in it. And then after a minute or two, worship team, y'all can take it away. And then Just want to invite our prayer and prophetic team here in a couple minutes. If our prayer and prophetic team can come up, if you just want prayer or any staff or life leaders that want to pray for people, we'll have a few people up here that are just going to be up here to pray. If you just want to come and bring a petition, bring a request before God that you want someone to partner with you in, we would love to pray for you. So here in a couple minutes, I'll step down and we'll have the rest of our team come up and join me, and we'll just be up here to pray as we worship. So Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, today would you help us to experience your peace. As we bring our anxieties to you, would you help us experience your love today, Lord? As we sit at your feet, Lord, I pray that you would come and show us who you are.